In Parshas Va'ira and Bo, so the Ribono Shel Olam brings 10 makos onto the Mitzrim. The Torah describes that at length in these particular Parshios. I want to speak about a little bit of an intriguing question, which is, did any of those makos actually impact Bnei Yisrael? Did they also get hurt? Were they at all impacted by any of these makos? We're going to speak about three different mahalchim, each of which I think is intriguing in its own right. The first mahalach is that absolutely not. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Asar Nisim Naasu L'Avosinim B'Mitzrayim, that there were 10 miracles done for Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. What were those 10 miracles that were done to Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim? So the Rambam writes in Perush HaMishnah, Rabbeinu Yonah as well, there in Pirkei Avos, that the miracle was that all the makos, when they were brought on the Mitzrim, Bnei Yisrael were saved from those makos. So the same way the water could be dam for the Mitzrim, it could be water for Bnei Yisrael. And that's true by all of them. The Rambam points out that if you read Chumash closely, it's true by all of them except for one, that Chumash is pretty clear that it was only done to the Mitzrim. The only exception is Kinim, the Makkah of Kinim. It's not explicit in Chumash who exactly that was done to. But the Rambam says, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal that it wasn't done to them. Rishonim explained that even if there was Kinim maybe around, it didn't bother them the same way. And in that sense, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, and many others maintain what appears to be, I think, the more mainstream view that we are brought up with, that the 10 of the Makos, they impacted Bnei Yisrael, however, they impacted the Mitzrim, however, Bnei Yisrael were entirely spared from being impacted at all from those Makos. However, there does seem to be a group of Rishonim that argue with that. The Eben Ezra, in Shmos Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Dalet, the Eben Ezra writes, L'fi da'ati ki makas hadam v'atzifardeyim v'hakinim, the first three of the Makos, ha'itaisa koleles, HaMitzrim v'HaIvrim, that those first three actually impacted both Am Yisrael and the Mitzrim. He says, by the time we got to the fourth, that was already very harsh, that was already something different. There, Gosh Baruch Hu was Hifrish Hashem bin HaMitzrim v'bein HaIvrim, but for the first three of the Makos, Dam Tzfardei Akinim, those were actually done to both Bnei Yisrael and to the Mitzrim. The Radvaz has a very harsh tshuva against this Eben Ezra. He says, "Umashakasa v'Eben Ezra ki makas hadam v'tzvadei v'akinim hayel emitzim v'li Yisrael." Says the Ravaz in very strong lashonos, "Aser lahamin davar zeh." There's an iser to believe what the Eben Ezra writes is at all true, especially because he thinks the psukim indicate differently. It's pretty clear that only the Mitzrim couldn't drink water during dam, but the Yehudim could. It's pretty clear that Yisrael hayutzrichim azeh ki hayushosim imei hamaor imei hayor. It's all good. So a very harsh response from the Radvaz. Radvaz also asks a very strong and powerful question on the Eben Ezra. If the first three Makos were done and impacted both Bnei Yisrael and the Mitzrim, so one of the goals of the Makos was to convince Paro to free Bnei Yisrael. One of the goals of the Makos was that Paro was supposed to infer the Mitzrim were getting punished, not Bnei Yisrael, and therefore Paro was supposed to realize, okay, let's go and let's free Bnei Yisrael. But ask the Radvaz the question, well, I don't understand. If the Yehudim were being impacted also by the Makos, so how is Paro supposed to realize that he's supposed to save Bnei Yisrael and send them out? They're all being impacted by this. Maybe it's that everybody's a sinner. Maybe something else is going on. So if the goal of the Makos is to encourage Paro to free Bnei Yisrael, how exactly is there going to be anything accomplished by impacting all of them? That's a question of the Radvaz. It's a very, very strong question. The Lubavitcher Rebbe in Likutei Sichos in Chelek Yud Aleph tries to give a hesber for the Eben Ezra. And he suggests more or less the following. Again, this is quoted in many different Chabad Sfarim, but it's originally Likutei Sichos, Chelek Yud Aleph, page 31, I believe. And there the Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests the following. Maybe not all of the Makos accomplished the exact same purpose. We know that in the Haggadah, we divide them up, Datzach, Adash, we divide up the Makos into different sections. And maybe the first three of the Makos, the goal of the first three of the Makos, was not as focused on Paro actually coming to free us. Maybe the primary goal was really to establish that the Ribono Shel Olam is in charge, and only the Ribono Shel Olam is in charge. Nobody else has any power at all over the Ribono Shel Olam. And for that reason, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, as an example, we'll go through one of them, the Makkah of Dam had to impact everything. Because if the Makkah of Dam would have impacted some part of the Nile River, but not the other parts of the Nile River. So Paro would have said, apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pretty strong, but in the end of the day, the Nile is somewhat stronger. There are certain areas in the Nile that are not going to be impacted by it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to get the entire Nile gone. He had to make a statement of the Ribono Shel Olam in charge over everything, and if he would have held back, that could have undermined the power of that particular message. According to Lubavitcher Rebbe, then, the Esther Makos are there to accomplish potentially different functions. The primary function of the first three was taking on the Nile, but it was really about establishing who is in charge. Who is in charge? So while the Ramban and others speak about the different elements of emunah that a person gets in the Makos, not all the Makos had the same function, and that the Babich Rebbe suggests is shot behind the Ibn Ezra as to what the goal, you know, really, really was. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, in a Sefer Ein Yitzchak, we discuss his different Rishonim, points out that there were a group of Rishonim that in general were suspect of the Ibn Ezra because they maintained that he argued with Chazal a little bit too much and he was too quick to reject things. The Tosfos writes in the Tshuvas in the Chilak Dalet, the Ibn Ezra was not a Baki Bedinin, he wasn't as familiar, he argues with Halacha. The Marshal, the Amsal Shlomo, in his Hakdamah to Bekam and Chulin, argues very strongly with the Ibn Ezra that he often, you know, rejects Chazal. However, other Rishonim and Achronim seem to speak with great reverence for the Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef quotes up there five or six examples of situations where the Ibn Ezra seems to say something against Chazal and the way that Poskim sort of relate to it. Unless I missed it, I don't believe he quotes this example, but this example would presumably be on that list of how you look at an Ibn Ezra, but seems to go against Chazal. The Radvaz responds very strongly. He's arguing with Chachamenu, he's arguing with the Mishnah and Avos, the Mishonim there, Asur Laham in Bazet. On the other hand, the Babich Rebbe and others think that there is sort of room to understand and to appreciate more what the Ibn Ezra is actually saying. There is a third view about the Makos and Bnei Yisrael. It's a little bit of a funkier kind of an idea, for lack of a better way to describe an Achron. This is found in two places. The Chida writes it in a lot of, I mean, found it more in two places. The Chida writes it in a bunch of places in his writings. And the Sefer Sifsei Kohen Al HaTorah, the Shach Al HaTorah, that's not the same person, the Shach on Shulchan Aruch. The Shach, one of the Mekubalim in the era of the Arizal there in 16th century Tzfas. So the Shach Al HaTorah in Dvarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tesvav, has the following suggestion. There may be some mixed evidence, a little bit of Bnei Yisrael was impacted or not, some mixed evidence maybe in Chazal. They suggest that every one of the Makos went on to Bnei Yisrael, umiyad haisa mistalachas. That what would happen was, at least with many of the Makos, because Baruch Hu set up the system that it would go right away on Bnei Yisrael, the Chidah says karega, and then come off. They would experience it for a very quick moment, and then it would come off. Why? Says the Chidah, kidei sheyedu Yisrael tokef hamakos. So Klal Yisrael could appreciate what exactly the Makos were. In that sense, what seems to be going on for the Chidah and the Shach Al HaTorah is an intriguing kind of idea. I think there are a couple ways to explain it, but one way I would explain it as follows. The Makos, it's not so clear in a lot of Mefarshim who the primary sort of audience was during the Makos. And there are three possibilities. One possibility is Paro. The goal was to get Paro to free Bnei Yisrael. Second possibility were the Mitzrim as a whole. Maybe it was about encouraging them to get power to free them, or just punishment for the Mitzvah for what they did. The third potential group that's being impacted may actually be the Bnei Yisrael. It's also very, very likely that there are multiple audiences taking place. In that sense, the Makos, we want to give Bnei Yisrael a very brief taste so they can appreciate, number one, the power of Ribbono Shel Olam and what exactly he's doing. If you know what he's doing, even for that brief moment, there's a deeper appreciation of what he's doing to the Mitzrim. It gives them an understanding of the godless of Ribbono Shel Olam and the extent to which Kadosh Baruch Hu is using these tools to be able to get them out of Mitzrayim. So were Bnei Yisrael impacted at all by the Makos? Were they struck by the Makos? So the answer is simple pshat in Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashbats. Most Rishonim seems to be absolutely not. The Radvaz writes to believe otherwise, Asur Lahamin and the Ibn Ezra. There is a group of Rishonim that does sort of understand. The Ibn Ezra writes, Dam Sephardei Akinim. Maybe Bnei Yisrael were impacted by it because the goal, as Babich Rebbe explained, is to give over a certain kind of understanding of the godless of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Shach and the Chidah understand that there was a very brief moment when Bnei Yisrael were impacted by the Makos. Kadesh Yedu Yisrael Tokef HaMakos Umiyad Haisa Mistalekes Lohodiyam Tza'aram. That we wanted to understand, it was important Bnei Yisrael understand what exactly the Mitzvah are getting. Maybe to understand a little bit about reward and punishment, this is what happens, but also for Bnei Yisrael to appreciate more what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing to give over and to impact. Certainly a lot of fundamental Torah here about the nature of the Makos, who the audience is, are all of them the same or different functions, and also whether, again, the simple psalm in the Mishnah, that every one of the Makos came with an additional miracle that Bnei Yisrael got off, that Bnei Yisrael was taken care of, and that would be pshat in that Mishnah in Maseches Avos. Have a wonderful rest of your day.